Therefore, we need to defend and protect the flock. Therefore, we need to look out for one another. We need to look out for those who may be manipulative or those who may be false teachers. We need to look out for these things. We need to be aware of these things. As the pastor of Hope Church, I'm called to be a shepherd of God's people, the people that God has told me to look after, the growing church in Stratford. So one of my main roles is to protect the sheep, look after the sheep. Look after the children, the young people, the old people, the married, the singles, everyone in between. You know, there's another great shepherd who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants to protect and defend and build his church. Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus says, "I will build my church." Trial. He then goes on and says, "The gates of hell will not prevail." There's the sword. Jesus wants to build the church, and he wants to protect the church. I think there's a beautiful little picture here for all of us, of a simple picture. I hope it's not too simplifying things, but a simple picture that when fear, intimidation, opposition, and conflict comes, we're to pick up the trowel and pick up the sword. We're to think about building the wall, prayer, scripture, holiness, relying on the Holy Spirit. And we're thinking about defending and fighting off the lies and the works of the evil one. Protecting marriages, protecting children and families, and protecting the glorious church of Christ Jesus. So there'll be many specific things that God has called you to build. Maybe a particular role in your workplace, God is calling you to a place of prominence and to build. Maybe a particular business or ministry, or God's particularly called you to build and your family and to influence your family. There are specific things which God has called you to. And then there are general things that God has called you to. It will take sweat. It will take energy. It's not easy. But we're called to build. And we're called to protect. We're called to protect with the sword. We're called to protect our minds from the lies of the enemy. And we're called to protect practically the sheep in the flock, which is Ashes Drive Baptist Church. So I just want to help you in the midst of conflict and opposition to have in your mind the trowel and the sword, what Spurgeon called his newspaper in the 19th century, thinking both practically to build and practically to defend. We haven't got time now, but you know, you might want to break into groups, or when you go home and talk this through with your husband or wife or maybe a friend, you might want to talk. What is it we are called to build? How can we build? And then what is it we need to be wise to look for to defend? Where are we prone to attack? Where are we prone to weakness? Where are we prone to the lies of the enemy? What is it that we need to defend with the sword? Talk, speak, look at each other's weak spots. Where can we build? What do we need to protect? Might be a good thing to do as a leadership team for the Ashes Drive. Think, where are we called to build? And where do we need to look out and protect? Where are the weak spots? Where do we need our swords ready by the side? Where do we need to fight off the lies of the enemy? I want to finish our time in Nehemiah by looking at the very completion of the wall. Nehemiah chapter 6. And verses 15 to 19. It's the last bit we're going to look at just in the last 10 minutes. Just want to make a few comments on Nehemiah completing the wall. Like I said, it's the halfway point of the book, Nehemiah chapter 6, because the first half is the bricks and mortar, and the second half is the building of the people. We haven't obviously got time to go into the second half, but I just want to read these last few verses, 15 to 19 of chapter 6, and just make a few comments on the completion of the wall, the completion of the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem had laid in ruins for 141 years, and now it is being completed. So let's just read verse 15 to 19 of chapter 6, and then a few closing comments. When all our enemies heard about this, that's the rebuilding of the wall, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence, because they realized that this work had been done with the help of God. I love that. The people had worked hard. The people had done their bit. But it was God who had helped them complete the job. And in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Arai. And his son, Jehonahai, had married the daughter of Meshulai, son of Berekah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and then telling him what I said. And Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. Okay, a few final thoughts on the completion of the wall. Verse 15, when all our enemies heard about this, the completion of the wall, they were afraid because they realized the work had been done with the help of God. The wall had been built. The wall had been completed. Not without its critics, not without its difficulties. We won't get time to get into it, but Tobiah, who's mentioned there, kept on trying to infiltrate and influence the ranks of the Jewish nobility. He kept on trying to turn people against Nehemiah. He kept on trying to undermine, he kept on trying to criticize and destroy Nehemiah, even till the last and on into the rebuilding of the people. So just because the wall had been completed didn't mean the critics stopped. Tobiah kept on going with the letters of criticism. Things kept on happening. We haven't had time to delve into, but the criticism kept going. It didn't go away. You know, sometimes we can finish a job. We can finish a dream. A dream has become a reality. We decided we were going to do this, and we've done it, and we think, oh, everyone's going to be happy now. Everyone's going to say, well done, Mark. The reality is the critics still talk. The critics still have a go. The critics still say their underhand things. You think they'll all be for you because the job is done, but no, it doesn't work out that way. Sometimes people close to us still don't turn to be positive and for us, even though we have completed what we were said we were going to do. Some people just never are that encouraging to us. And I just want to finish with two key qualities that Nehemiah demonstrated in the rebuilding of the wall, just as a finish to our time together. So Nehemiah, with the help of God's people, has rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem that lay dormant and buried for 141 years. Two qualities that Nehemiah had to finish with this afternoon. Number one, he was determined. All the way through the first six chapters of Nehemiah, I think the biggest characteristic that you could label at Nehemiah was that he was determined. It actually only took 52 days from start to completion. But every one of those 52 days, he had to fight and keep on fighting and keep on fighting against all the opposition and conflict that he faced. He did not ignore the realities of some of the things he had to face, but he kept working, even in the face of threats, even in the face of difficulties. He didn't give up. He didn't allow himself to be distracted from the work that he was called to do. I think it's such a helpful lesson for us there. Some of you, this is probably one of the most helpful things that you can hear from today. Keep on going and working at the things that God has called you to build, even if the threats and the intimidation and the discouragement doesn't stop. I mean, just look at it. So, Nehemiah 2 and verse 4, it says, "So I prayed." It's a story of determination. "So I prayed." Nehemiah 2 verse 11, "So I came to Jerusalem." Nehemiah 2 and verse 18, "So they strengthened their hands for the good work." Nehemiah 4 and verse 6, "So we built the wall." Nehemiah 4 and verse 21, "So we labored at the wall." Nehemiah 6 and verse 15, "So the wall was finished." Laboring, building, praying, but not giving up. You see, the Christian life is about perseverance. It's about endurance, and it's about determination. It's about not giving up. You had a bad few days? You feel a bit low? Don't give up. God's called many of you to specific tasks. Maybe you've neglected them for a little while, but God has called you to specific tasks. God's called you to this church. God's called you to be a part of this church, so don't give up. You say, "Well, I used to have such an incredible peace of God using me and things happening, but now it's all a bit of a struggle and it's all a bit difficult." Don't give up. There's seasons, there's ups and downs, but one of the most important spiritual truths I can give you is don't give up. George Carey is a famous missionary who went to India, and he was once asked, "What was your greatest quality as a missionary?" He very quickly replied two words: "I plod." I don't give up. I keep going. I'm determined. You can read the story of Carey in the missionary journals, but his key was not to give up, to be determined and to persevere. One of my own personal heroes is a man called Bill Wilson. He's an American man who in New York, in the city of New York, began a kids club for kind of really rough children in the ghettos of New York. Now, Bill Wilson, he's still alive today. He's an incredibly kind of like determined man after the things of God. He's been shot twice, he's had tuberculosis, and yet he still runs this huge kids club for the children of New York to tell them about Jesus. And he says 90% of leadership is just showing up. His argument is, you know, "I've been shot, I've had TB, but I'm going to show up for these children and tell them about Jesus." He's determined and he perseveres. In our Christian life, we're to persevere and not give up. Church life can be difficult at times. We can go through seasons where everything is wonderful, and seasons where everything is a challenge and difficult and feels like we're walking in mud. We're to be determined and persevere and not give up. And then the second and the final lesson is a summing up from Nehemiah on the completion of the wall, is that he relied on the sufficiency of God. You see, Nehemiah throughout the book always acknowledges that the source of his strength is in the Lord. There's multiple times that he is tested, there's multiple challenges that come along. But he says in Nehemiah 2 and verse 19, "God of heaven, give me success. God of heaven, give me success." And in Nehemiah 4 and verse 20, he says, "God will fight for us." And in Nehemiah 6 and verse 9, "God strengthen my hand when daily troubles come." The Christian life is full of trials and difficulties, but God will supply our needs. Let me finish with this. In John 1 and verse 16 in the Gospels, it says, "And from his fullness we have received grace upon grace." Now, that word fullness in the Greek is a nautical term in the ancient world. It's a term for a ship's complement. And what it means was, what it meant in the ancient world was that before a ship set sail to leave the harbour, it was checked to ensure that it had everything that it needed for the journey. It had the adequate crew, it had the adequate food, it had the right amount of drinking water, it had the medical supplies. It had everything that it needed on board for the journey ahead. And I think that's a brilliant picture and a really helpful verse. Because John was writing to Christian readers to say, look, however great your problems are in life, know that in his fullness, in Christ, we have everything that we need for the journey of life. Everything. The fullness of God, everything is covered. Everything that you need is found in Jesus. All of our needs will be met in the fullness and sufficiency of Christ. Jesus is all that we need. Jesus is the fully equipped ship with everything that we need for the journey in front of us. We're going to finish there. I hope you've enjoyed looking at Nehemiah. I feel there's a huge amount that we can learn from him that is relevant to us today. Can I ask you to stand if you can? I'm going to pray for us as we close, as we go from here to the rest of our weekend.